sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word.
And welcome to Taizé. I'm supposed to probably say the meditative prayer worship service now, make it official. Pastor Hannah is unable to be here tonight, so instead of communion, I've got something else up my sleeve. So when you notice that we don't call you up for communion, that's why she was unable to be here. So let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we call upon the power of your Holy Spirit to join us here tonight. And we hope that each person that's here opens their mind, their heart, their ears, to whatever it is that you have for them tonight. We lift up our music team, Lord, and we pray that their music reaches and speaks to each one of us tonight. In your Son's name, amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Our reading tonight comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, close, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you.
For the second reading, allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God.
You are the potter.
You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever my heart, O God, may I be like you.
During the silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. May also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. For those wishing to give a tithe or offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle or at the exit as we end the worship. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself and must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
my life.
In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today.
In our homes, Lord. Church.
In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today.
In your world,
our final reading. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So last week I was listening to a Terry Wardle mini podcast about the, he calls them the four journeys of the Christian life. So Terry is the author of many books on inner healing and spiritual formation. He is a retired seminary professor down at Ashland, and he is founder of the Healing Care Ministry that has been kind of foundational in my Christian walk the last 5.5 years. So in his writings and in his seminars, he has this knack for helping us understand what it means to be on this path towards spiritual maturity. So in his teachings, Terry speaks of the importance of investing in four journeys in our Christian lives, prioritizing our lives based on these. So he calls them the upward journey, inward journey, outward journey, and the forward journey. And he suggests that we need to take an honest personal inventory on how we're doing in each one of these areas. So the upward journey, that represents our investment in our relationship with God. So in our scripture tonight, we are told to remain in Christ, like a branch that clings to a vine. In this way, we're to stay close to Jesus to receive the nourishment and the life that we need. The perk of abiding in Christ on a consistent basis is the ability to have him walking alongside of us when we get into those tough times of adversity. There's a joy in living with Christ daily, as it kind of keeps us level-headed in our super high great times and in our low times. Being with Christ just kind of lets us be level-headed. Our goal then on this upper journey is to actually sit at the feet of Jesus and allow his presence to shape us. It's helpful to ask questions. To what degree are we investing in our relationship with God? How much time are we spending with God? Because if we're not doing those things, then it's kind of hard to be abiding in him. So the second journey then is what he calls the inward journey. And it's about our internal transformation. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with the deep wounds, the false beliefs, the emotional upheavals that we have going on in our world, and our dysfunctional behaviors? Those are those coping mechanisms that we've accumulated over years that we think are okay, but actually they're kind of dysfunctional. So are we allowing the Holy Spirit into our lives to show us and change us from the inside in those areas? So our inward journey, it reflects the degree to which our life is reflecting our relationship with God. We inventory to what extent are we allowing God to change us from the inside. So in our scripture from today, John 15, we are to be pruned. So that's a lot of what we're talking about with the inward journey. Fruitful branches, right, they're cut back to promote growth. The dead wood, right, need to cut that stuff off too. And as God prunes us, our character and our faith strengthens. We become the person God always intended us to be before the world got in our way. I liken it to chiseling away the unhealthy and unholy way that we have, kind of unearthing the real us. So just kind of picture this rock, and under that is us. And part of this inward journey is chiseling it away. And then out comes the person that God intended for us to be. But it's in this inward journey that unbelievable transformation awaits, but it also is a place where there's some fear and there's doubt and there's this unknown that goes on, and a lot of people are afraid of that. And there's a lot of pain that can go on with inside or inside transformation. And a lot of people then are hesitant to dive in completely. They kind of get hesitant and sit on the outside. So my encouragement is to you is to face those fears, work through the pain, permit yourself to wrestle with all those doubts that you might have going on, because what awaits you on that other side is beyond amazing and wonderful and life-giving. So it's worth everything that you go through. So then the third journey that Terry talks about is what he calls the outward journey. So this is spending time connecting with other Christians, placing a high importance in our lives of time spent developing these relationships. And we're talking about like two-way engaging communication. It's from these relationships that we actually gain the strength that we need for whatever comes our way. We need friends that we can talk about Jesus with. We need friends that we can pray with. We need friends that we can gather together and spend meaningful, what I call deeper than a puddle, conversations with. So as a Christian, our life is not meant to be lived in isolation. It's meant to be lived in community. So I'm blessed to see the rewards of Christian community through the relationship that I get to see get formed in the 16-week healing care groups. So I've seen the power of prayer, because a lot of the groups stay together in this 16 weeks, but then they just keep going. And in their text groups, they'll throw out prayer requests in there, and they're surrounded, even though it's by text, knowing that this group prays for them. I've seen a group member share a struggle. Again, this was just on text. I'm having a tough day. And the next thing you know, there's three people around her that night coming together to be with her and walk alongside her. I've seen care and concern from these members as different people are going through hospital visits and injuries and long-term repairs and healing. So the members know that their healing care community is a place for peace and comfort and loving union. And that's what, to me, epitomizes what God meant when he was talking about forming community. Then the fourth journey is the forward journey. And Terry's talking about here is seeking to moving forward to advance the kingdom of God. So this is, how are we prioritizing Christian service in our life? Are we only consumers of other people's services, or are we finding ways to serve as well? Have we identified our spiritual gifts, and are we aligning them in our service to God? For it's when we serve in our area of giftedness that there's a joy that lives in us. So some of you may or may not know that I'm training for a 5K. It's my very first 5K on Thanksgiving Day. And I began training on September 1st, which gave me 12 weeks to prepare. And I can honestly tell you, I am not a runner. If you let me play basketball or football and running is involved, that's okay. But to just sit out there and run just was baffles me. So I am not. But I thought that the discipline that would take me to practice and train three times a week for this run would also play out in other parts of my life, because I am one of the most undisciplined people you'll ever meet. So I did have ulterior motives. But what I've come to, as I look back at the training, I'm realizing how much training for this 5K mirrors what Terry Wordle was talking about with the journeys that he talks about in our spiritual life. So the upward journey will show up as I go on to continue training for other 5Ks. I'm sure there's going to be seasons where I follow the plan just like it's laid out, and I stay on top of it, and I'm prepared the best possible way for the runs. But I'm sure there's going to be times where I slip up in my training. But the key is to have some kind of destination, a goal. So in the case of my 5K training, it's that next race. But in the case of my Christian walk, it's staying connected to God and realizing when I'm off my training plan. But to know that I'm off my plan means I need to have a plan in place, right? I need to know that there is this plan that I'm supposed to follow to be most connected to God, so that when I'm not, I can figure out where it is and what's going on. And it's all about finding that plan that works just for me. And for each one of us, it's a very individual thing. So for running, right, and that plan, it was interval training. And it combined walking and running in short bursts, gradually increased the amount of running versus walking as the training weeks increased. It would have been impossible, and I would have quit, if my training plan asked me on day one to run 30 minutes without stopping. That'd be absolutely no way I'd have done that without hacking up a lung and probably face planting and exhaustion. I would have hung up my running shoes on day one. So similarly, as we foster our relationship with God, we need to have a game plan. Most importantly, we need a plan that works for us, not your friends, not your family, not your coworkers, maybe even not what worked for you in the past. It's like, what currently works for you? I need to find out what those spiritual disciplines are that keep me most connected to God and go with those. And if I'm not feeling like what I'm doing is getting me connected and forming that real relationship with God, then I need to become willing to seek out other ways to connect. Maybe it's a different method of prayer. Maybe it's a different way of reading the Bible, different studies, or different way I go about my quiet time. Then, if I looked at the inward journey of the 5K training, again, this is like inside me, is spending time learning about myself, my thoughts, my attitudes, and my actions that can hinder my ability to train. So in order to let the running experience transform me, which is really a goofy concept, but it is, I have to do the work. I can have the proper gear, and I can have a training plan in place, but if I'm not willing to do the running, actually go run, nothing in me is going to change. My heart and lung capacity isn't going to improve. My legs aren't going to get stronger. My disciplines aren't going to shift. I can live with wishful thinking all I want, but I have to take action to actually become a new me. The same is true for our inner transformation as Christians. We can read all we want. We can listen to sermons all we want. We can do the, quote, right things. But if we don't open our hearts to the transformation that Jesus wants to do in us, we'll just be going through the motions in a lifeless life instead of filling our tank with joy and peace. Just as our Christian walk encourages an outward journey of living in community with other believers and preparing for my 5K, I immerse myself in a running community. Thankfully, our church has the Run for God group, and don't let the name fool you, it's also a Walk for God group. There are all kinds that are in there. The group meets 12 times to prepare for a 5K in the fall and then also in the spring, and there is a power having others alongside you as you train. We offer encouragement to each other, accountability to show up and run, mentoring from those who have running experience to those of us who are beginners, sharing of tips, whether it's how to find the proper shoes, the importance of no blister socks. Yes, pay the extra cost for the no blister socks. The true fact that when you run, Cotton is rotten, so do not wear cotton. I've also found others outside of the Run for God group to round out my running community. So Leanne, who is the children's ministry director here, when I put out there that I'm going to be running and I don't have a lot of people to run with, she said, I'll run with you on Wednesday mornings. So early on, before it became too much for her, we would meet on her day off to run together, just so that we would stay. She'd help me stay on track. There's also a Facebook running group that I can post whatever I need. What's the best watch to get that's reasonable priced? What is the best phone app to use to help me train? If I needed somebody to run, all I had to do was put out in that running group, I'm looking for someone to run in the Strongsville area, and someone would jump in. So that's what community looks like. And it's the same with our Christian community. There are people further along in spiritual maturity that become what I call our go-to people, because along this path of Christian maturity, we've got a lot of questions, and I have a lot of them. So there are people that we need to go to have talks about and to know more than we do. So it's helpful to have that group of believers to ask. And we're also going to become that person for someone else who's less mature than we are. And as we all come together in Christian community, there's all these bonds that form that help us to be the best that God meant for us to be. I always have this kind of visual of someone's above me and they're reaching their hand down to me and I'm reaching up to them. And at the same time, I'm reaching down here to someone that's below me so that we're all connected. And they know more than me and they're dragging me along and I may be in a different place than this person, but together we're all just hanging on. So what I'm finding in my 5K training, as well as in my walk with God, when I'm completely investing in the four journeys, I'm getting rewards that I never expected. While my original goal for the 5K, it was just to complete it. I literally did not care if I walked the entire thing. I wanted to start it, I wanted to cross the finish line, and I could check it off my list. But what I've realized by having a plan that worked for me and actively making it a priority to follow the plan, I have the utmost confidence that I'm going to be ready to actually run, if not all of the 3 miles, most of the 3 miles. And while I expect to run originally only one race, I've already said early on that I was going to do the Christmas story one that's December 1st. So I already added a second one. So no, I still don't consider myself a runner, but I can appreciate the benefits of having running in my world. And 5.5 years ago, when I took that deep dive into my relationship with God, I never thought I'd have the life like I have now. The community that I'm surrounded with, an inner healing ministry where I get to experience a front row seat to God's actually absolutely amazing work that he does in people's lives, and working for a church, doing what I love. So yes, I'd say that staying on these four journeys has reaped more benefits than I'd ever thought possible. And I'd say the journey is kind of early on and just beginning. So I thought today we're going to do a couple of things since we're not doing communion. And I need a help from the confirmation guys if you can come help me. All right, for starters, I always like having reminders of something to, it's not a pocket token, it's going to be something on my wall, or I'm tactile, so you're getting something tactile tonight. But I thought as a reminder to stay in the vine and stay attached to God is to let the stick be the vine, the branch, and to let the green, being that we're always growing, represent us and our growth and our following the four journeys. So if you can somehow, however it's meaningful to you, attach it to your vine so that you can always be reminded to remain in him in whatever way that works best for you. And one other thing I'd like to end with tonight is when we're doing our healing care group, one of the experientials that we practice is actually getting into Jesus' presence in what we call going to a place of peace and calm. So I thought tonight we would allow ourselves just to have a couple of minutes to do that, and I'll walk you through it. But we'll have you just take some deep breaths and get quiet, and you ask the Lord to take you to a place of peace and calm. Sometimes it's where you've been before. If you're a beach person, you might be at the beach. If you like to sit by a stream, that might be where he goes. But the key is that you're just open to wherever he leads you. And when you ask him for a place and you're there, just allow your senses to take it all in. What do you see? What do you feel? What do you hear? And if Jesus isn't already there, invite him to come in. I've had some people, he's already there sitting on a rock. But if not, invite him to come in and feel and experience his presence. Now, you might want to just do that. Be still with him and just be in his presence. You may want to ask him, what needs pruning in your life? Or which one of those four journeys that we talked about does he want you to focus on, and in which way? So we're just going to spend a minute or two getting quiet. Because the coolest thing is once you learn how to do this, it's something that you can do anytime, anywhere, in about a minute. And you can have this cool peace that comes around you. So allow yourself to relax. And just take some deep breaths. And do a body check. Make sure that your legs aren't tight, your jaw isn't tight, wherever you might have tension. Just allow yourself to relax those places. Any thoughts that come your way, just imagine they're on clouds and they just float right by you. And when you're ready, ask the Lord to take you to a place of peace and calm, and allow your imagination to open up to where he's leading you. And when you're there and ready, invite Jesus to come into your space. Okay, so hopefully each one of you was able to at least find some kind of place of peace and calm that you'll be able to take with you going forward. Thank you. As we leave tonight, may we go forward and always stay connected to the vine. Good night.